Today's title is aptly called ordination. So I want to read to you from the overview. God has already ordained each of us to the calling in our life. I don't want you to be sitting here today, and for those who are not here today, I don't want you to be sitting here thinking that you're here merely to watch or pray for an ordination. I don't want you to think that ordination is something that happens just to a few selected ones that are called into the fivefold ministry, because that's not true. And that's what I want to show you today with these scriptures. Each of us goes through several ordinations if we will accept it, which has nothing to do with the fivefold ministry. It is up to us to learn our calling and the ordination involved in that calling. Then after you have learned your calling and you know in your heart that you've been called to a certain course of action, to a certain gifting of the Lord in your life, and you know that in your heart and that God has ordained you to it, then the formal church will ordain you in that calling, such as we're going to do today with four candidates. And then the body of Christ can recognize the calling in your life, use it, and be blessed by it. That was God's plan. Now, to understand more of what I just said, we need to understand the meanings of the word ordination, or the word ordain. So, in the Greek, there are several words in the Greek that means ordain. Several words. Now, I've not listed the Greek words here, at least very few of them have I listed, but there are several that means ordain, that could be translated as ordain. Some of these words are sometimes translated as ordained and sometimes as something else. But wherever you see it, that word could have been ordained as well as something else. Common meanings of the word ordained from the Greek words are found, like you found a church, establish, appointed, decree, separate, commit, give, make. These are all some of the words that come from the Greek words of ordain. Now, as you look at this list here, you'll see some of them are bolded. The bolded ones, like where you see the word Greek on the part A, ordain / made. Those two are actually used in today's teaching. Appointed, that's used in today's teaching. Next to appointed is the word ordained, which is not bolded. That means it could have just as easily been written as ordained. But in the particular King James Bible we're using, it was translated as appointed instead of ordained. Separate, same thing, it's bolded. That means separate is in today's teaching, but it could have been just as easily written as ordained. If you see two bolds like commit and ordain, or ordain and made, it means both meanings are used in today's teachings. Both meanings are used in the King James Bible. Give is used, and give could have been translated as commit. And commit is one of the meanings of ordain. Since we're living here in modern English times, and most of us here don't know Greek, we don't want to rely on those who do know Greek, so we just talk about the English. Modern English usage from different dictionaries I checked, to invest officially as by the laying on of hands with ministerial functions. Okay? So that's the modern meaning of ordained. That's contained within what the Greek meaning is all doing. Okay? Now, the process of ordination is a function of sanctification, a function of being set apart, being separated, being called unto a work. And there are many examples of ordination in the scriptures at different levels, which we look at. But the primary one that the church here in America talks about is ordination to the fivefold ministry. In fact, in this country, it's almost always about the pastor. It's ordaining pastors and deacons. The ordination of an apostle or a prophet has been very rare in my experience in this country. I know of it. I mean, I've been present when it's been done, but it's very rare. There's an ordination to the ministry. the ministry calling, and you're set apart for it, and you're ordained. You're given a special anointing for that ministry. And we look at those. And at the very end, we have a summary, which to me is the most important part of this entire teaching. So let's go through this really quite fast. Sanctification. What do I mean by sanctification? Sanctification is a process of becoming separate. Now remember the word separate in the King James usage, in the Greek usage, is the same as the word ordained. Let's look at some examples of sanctification, the process of becoming separated unto God, separated unto God's work. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So that's what God wants. He wants to live in us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to be our God. He wants us to be his people with an intimate fellowship. That's what he wants. That's what he's wanted from day one. That's what he's going to have. The question is not, is he going to have it? He's going to have it. The question is, are you and I going to partake of it? And in particular, partake of it before the second coming. Obviously, after the second coming, a lot more will partake of it. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them. God is always telling his people to come out from among them. Come out from anybody who is not devoted to God. In particular, he's called his people in the Old Testament to live separate from the nations around, because they were the bearers of God's word. They were the carriers of God's glory. They were in the line of descent that would bring forth the Messiah. And God wanted to protect them and keep them separate. He puts it another way in the New Testament. You cannot serve God and mammon. Your choice is you can't serve God and mammon. What your choice should be is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the word seek means seek and keep on seeking. Not just refers to being born again. It's an ongoing process of sanctification, moving more and more into the things of God, more and more being committed to him. Sanctification is also a process of filtering. What do I mean by filtering? Many are called, but few are chosen. The ones who are chosen recognize their calling, recognize what God wants, and move through that process of sanctification. And by so doing, they're filtered out, leaving others behind, leaving things behind. It's a process of filtering, a process of personal cleansing. The filtering and the personal cleansing goes together. If you decide, I want to be personally cleansed, and I'm going to get off alcohol and not drink alcohol again, then perhaps you want to change the people, your friends, that you've been hanging around with at the bar. So not just is it personal cleansing, it's a filtering of moving up to where iron can sharpen iron and deep calls into deep. Right? Amen. Some examples of filtering are the flood. That was a major filtering. Amen? Yeah, it's like you put a filter in a pot, a fish tank, and you pour it in there, and the good water comes through, the junk is left behind. Okay? Now this one, the great flood with Noah was a bit reverse. Okay? It was the good went up through the filter, leaving all the junk under the boat. Right? Okay. Sodom and Gomorrah was obviously filtering. So was Jericho. The instruction in Jericho was kill every man, woman, child, and animal. Why? Because they were full of demons. And those demons would eventually affect God's people. Well, there was a filtering process where Rahab believed in their God, believed in his power, and said, what took you guys so long? From the moment you crossed the Red Sea, we know you're going to defeat us. And she partnered with them. And she and her family were saved. At least she and the family who chose to be filtered by being in her home when the attack came. Again, personal choice. They could make the choice of being in the home or not being in the home. If they were in the home, they were saved. If they were not, they were filtered out. It's all personal choice. Every step with God is a partnership to move into the grace that God has provided. God's grace has provided for you and me everything we need for life and godliness today. God's grace has provided that we are blessed, Ephesians 1:3, with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It belongs to us. Just as salvation belongs to every person on earth. Because of God's grace, salvation belongs to every person. But today, people die and go to hell because they have not partnered and done their part releasing the grace through their faith. You're saved by grace through faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is your part. And that's true for every blessing of God. Examples of personal cleansing. Abraham. God called him out of his family, his country, his home, the false gods. Leave everything behind. Moses turned his back on everything he had. Spent 40 years in the wilderness to walk with God. Turning his back on everything. Elisha left everything. The apostles, who all left everything. All these people left everything to follow God. Does it mean you have to give up everything? Only if God calls you to do it. But that's part of the process. What we certainly have to do is be willing to do it. You may not have to do it, but you have to be willing to do it, to leave everything. Pastor James is going to be ordained today. He turned his back on everything he knew. He had successful businesses in Illinois, Springfield. Had the first Subway shop in Springfield, in Illinois. And had a tailoring business that made custom suits for the politicians in the state capitol. Turned his back on that to go live in Guatemala for 4 years in the ministry field. Turned his back on it. The process of sanctification and filtering is accomplished in the spiritual level. It comes through 5 baptisms. Baptism into Christ as Savior. In Hebrews, it talks about the doctrine of baptisms, plural. Baptism into Christ as Savior. In other words, we're born again. Jesus is now our Savior. But that's just the beginning. Many of us know people. We call them barely born again. Your basic BBA. Okay? And so they're barely born again because they've accepted Christ as Savior, but not gone into His Lordship. So there's a baptism into Jesus, which is really a baptism by being washed by the water of the Word. Where the Word says, do it, you do it because He is your boss. And this is what He says. And that washing of the water of the Word is meant to move us to the place of being part of the glorious church, the church without spot or wrinkle, the church that walks in authority and dominion and might. There's also baptism by water, which everybody here has gone through, by immersion, not by sprinkling. We follow the examples of Jesus, John the Baptist, by immersion, not by sprinkling. Then there's baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And finally, baptism by fire. These are all progressive filtering. And you all know people who have not gone through some of these. What's baptism by fire? That every day you let your love for God, your respect for the Word, your fear of the Lord burn out of you everything that you do that day that's not for God. That little by little, you and I, we give up everything that used to be meaningful to us to move more and more into what God wants us to be. The baptism of fire washes away from you and your life anything that gets between you and God. Anything that gets between you and God. In other words, it's a filtering. It's a consecration. It's a separation. All those are what is embodied in an ordination. And the same word is used for these. Okay? Ordination. John 15:16. Here is the most important ordination, I think. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you. The word ordained is used. And ordained you. In the Greek, is Strong's number 5087. Didn't put the Greek word itself. Didn't really have space, and I don't think any of us really care about how you pronounce the Greek. It's Strong's 5087. I put that because we're going to see it repeated. We've been ordained. Jesus has ordained you and me that we should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. And that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. We're ordained. So that as we bring forth fruit, whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, the Father will give it to us. We've been ordained to that. So if you learn nothing else from coming here today, know that just as these four are going through an ordination, which is very, very special and very important and very profound, you already have gone through the ordination of bringing forth fruit and the ordination of knowing that because of the ordination you've gone through, because of your calling, that whatever you ask the Father in the name of Jesus, He will give it to you. That's an oath of God. It's a promise of God. And that's very important. We're ordained to bring forth good fruit. So let's look at some other examples of ordination. In Titus 1:5, the Apostle Paul instructed Titus to ordain elders in every city. Notice the word used here in the Greek is actually a different Greek word. But they're both translated as ordain. The one we just looked at in John 15:16 and the one in Titus. They're both translated as ordained. Mark 3:14, Jesus ordained 12 apostles. This is the second most common. This appears to be, I never counted them. It appears to be the second most common Greek word, the one in John 15:16, where Jesus ordained you and me, and this one here, where He ordained the 12 apostles. So Jesus ordained 12 apostles. 1 Timothy 2:7. God ordained, same word here as in John 15:16, God ordained Paul as a preacher, apostle, and teacher. We're all very impressed that God ordained Paul as a preacher, apostle, and teacher. But the exact same word is the one that says He ordained you to bring forth much fruit. And that whatever you ask the Father in the name of Jesus, He'll give it to you. Exact same word. The same ordination with the exact same word that was talked about Paul's ordination refers to you. 2 Timothy 4:22. In the footnote in the Bible, this is the first time in my life I've quoted a footnote. I don't use footnotes. I use the actual scriptures. I don't read them. But this particular one was stuck right there. I never saw it before. I guess in reading through my Bible somewhere I had a... When it says amen, I quit reading. And I never knew it was there. Anyway, it's a footnote that states that Timothy was ordained as the first bishop of the church at Ephesus. So that's an ordination. Ordination as a bishop. Acts 6, verses 4 through 6. The 12 apostles, that's the one that replaced Judas, the 12 appointed, the translated word is appointed, but the same word could have been used as ordained. In fact, in Titus 1:5 is the same word. In Titus 1:5, Paul instructed Titus to ordain elders. Here it says 12 appointed deacons. But it's the same word, exact same word in the Greek. The 12 appointed ordained deacons for the natural work of the church, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So that's ordination, covering a wide range of function. From being a deacon, such as an usher, such as sweeping the place, such as stocking the refrigerator, to all the natural work that does, such as distributing food. Part D, fivefold ministry ordination. This is what the modern church normally refers to when they refer to ordination. God's selection and ordination of a person is supposed to be recognized by the church and confirmed. God selected and ordained Paul on the road to Damascus, Acts 9, verses 4 through 6. But it was later confirmed by the church in an ordination ceremony, which we're going to look at here in a few minutes. When they ordained the deacons, they laid hands on them and they prayed. And that's the essence of the process of the church recognizing the ordination. But that ordination into the fivefold ministry doesn't come because you graduated from Bible college or seminary. That ordination comes because God called you to the work. It's your calling in your life. Just as the calling in every life here is to bring forth fruit so that the Father will answer whatever you ask in the name of Jesus. Now, people go to Bible college and seminary because they think it will be a good job and people get respect. Wrong reasons for going to Bible college and seminary. Ephesians 4 verse 12. Every ordination, but in particular right here, the ordination of the fivefold ministry is for the benefit of mankind, the benefit of the church. Ephesians 4:12 says, for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. Think about that. Bible says in Hebrew, Selah. Think about this. The fivefold ministry is ordained for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. That's why people are ordained into the fivefold ministry. But every ordination is for meant to be a blessing, first to the church, and secondly to mankind. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. He gave some. The word gave could be translated as commit. He committed some. And commit and give are some of the translations of ordain. So he committed some to this fivefold ministry. Just as he's committed you and me to different callings in our life. Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto you have called them. So as they ministered and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto you have called them. And we're very impressed by that. At least I was. Boy, God selected Barnabas and Saul and separated them for the work to which they were called. And there was an ordination. The word separate could just as easily be translated as ordain. They chose to translate as separate here, as opposed to ordain, because they wanted to show that the ordination is a separation of you from what you used to be and a separation of you from the things that are not of God. You know, I got saved a long, long time ago. And during all the decades that I was saved, until I got married, you could never look at my car and tell it belonged to a Christian. There was no bumper sticker on my car that says, Son of God, you know, repent or die, Jesus is Lord, I'm a Christian, not even a small fish. Why is that? Because I recognize that the calling on your life as a Christian is such that we should do whatever we can not to cast a reflection upon God, His work, His ministry, His calling, and His workmanship in you. I never wanted to do anything that would reflect poorly on my Savior. Of course, the day came when I backslid, and I did terrible. In fact, I tell you a story which my sister and family have never heard. Okay? So, day came when I decided I was going to backslide. I had no change in my thought or my life concerning God. Still believed everything. But I decided I was going to backslide. I won't take time in telling you why I decided I was going to backslide. Basically, the devil did a number on me. And I was upset about some things. And I decided to backslide. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to backslide. And I got a phone call from my sister over here, whose name I won't call. It's the only sister I have here, though. So it must be her. Call came in and says, brother, I have a message for you from the Lord. And the message is, a dog should not go back to his own vomit. Well, I was going to backslide. I wasn't going back to my vomit. So I said, thank you, honey. You're so sweet. What a nice thing to say. And I left. So I took off backsliding, driving across the country. And I get to Kansas City, Missouri. I'm driving on the freeway. I'm thinking, my decision is not to go to church. I'm through church. I've ministered for 10% of my life. I'm a tither. I've tied 10% of my life to God, and I'm through with ministry. I'm through with church. I'm through with reading my Bible. I'm through with prayer. I was through with it all. You know, the scriptural. Hot or cold. I was really cold. So I was through with the whole thing. I was freezing. And you know, for Jamaican, that's not a good thing. So I'm driving to Kansas City, Missouri. Never been there. I'm driving on the freeway, and I just felt like I should go to church. Why? I have no idea. So I just said, Sunday morning, I'm going to church. I had never planned on going to church again. So I pull out the freeway, and it was an African-American church. And I went in there in this African-American neighborhood, and I was the only non-African-American in the church with thousands of people. And I looked around, whoa, I wonder if anybody noticed me. So I'm sitting there minding my own business, and the man is preaching up a storm. Really good preacher. But I have no idea what he said except one thing. He's preaching up a storm, and suddenly he stops and says, oh, I have a message from the Lord. The message is this. A dog should not go back to his own vomit. So I looked at him and I said, I wonder to whom he's speaking. Anyway, I thought my sister would be blessed by hearing the story. And the prayer of my family brought me back out of backsliding, out of a very bad place. But because I hung on to God eventually, because of the family of my prayers, he lifted me up to where I am today and have been for years, for decades now. That if I had to go through it all again to be where I am, starting decades ago, I would do it all over again. That everything I went through, as bad as it was worth it to be where I am today. And I'm very grateful for every person in that process who prayed for me or who did anything positively or negatively that caused me to go through it. I'm truly grateful for them. Now, I'm not saying that was the only way to get where I am. I'm not even saying that's the best way. But it's the way that I chose. And sometimes people choose the school of hard knocks. And that's what I did. I chose the school of hard knocks, but God in his mercy pulled me up to where I am today. And I'm truly grateful. Just as the four people are going to be standing up here, they've gone through their own school of hard knocks, and they've hung on to God. None of them have ever done what I did, to my knowledge, backsliding, and it's not the way I did. You know, maybe they commit a sin here and there. You know, they're not perfect. They might think they're perfect, but they're not. So the Lord said, separate Barnabas and Saul. And the word there could have been translated ordain. Exact same word. And in Acts 13, verse 3, how did they separate them? How did they ordain them? And when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they fasted, they all fasted. They prayed, they laid hands. And in public, they recognized the calling on their life, the work in their life, and they added their anointing and their prayers to the people who were being ordained. And my wife and I, our four candidates, have all been fasting and praying. We try to be as scriptural as we can. They've all been fasting and praying, for this is a big deal, to stand up before the world. Because from now on, they are like me, the way I was in the car, where my car wouldn't even say, I'm a Christian. No, they are an example. They have been before, but no, they're acknowledging before God and everybody, we're an example, and we're going to do our very best not to fall. But if they fall, we're all going to pray them back up. Amen? Ordained to ministry. This applies to us all. All believers are ordained to a ministry of reconciliation. All believers are ordained to a ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given, and the word given could have been translated committed, and has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given to us, committed to us, ordained unto us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto us, and has committed. Now, the word committed here is not the same word committed before. This is a stronger word. The word before committed is given to, separated unto. This one is committed in a full sense of ordination. The same word where it said God ordained Paul as a preacher. The same word where it said God ordained Paul as a preacher and apostle. That's the same word here now. And has committed, has ordained unto us the word of reconciliation. So we have been committed, separated unto the ministry of reconciliation, but we are ordained unto the word of reconciliation. Just as Paul was ordained to be an apostle, you and I are ordained to the word. Number two, all believers are ordained to be ambassadors of heaven. All believers are ordained to be ambassadors of heaven. Now, you know the ambassador to a country is not subject to the laws of the country. They can commit crime, and they can't do anything with them except ask that they be removed from the country. They're not subject to the laws of the country. Neither is their wife or their kids. Their household is not subject to the laws of the country. We are in this earth, but we are not off this earth. We're not off this earth because we are off our Father, we are off heaven, and we are ambassadors from heaven. We're ambassadors of heaven. We're not subject to the laws of this earth. The ambassador to a foreign country. Ambassador to, say, Vietnam. The American ambassador to Vietnam. Obeys all the laws of the country while he's there. Out of respect, politeness, good relations. But he does not have to. We are here on earth and we respect all the laws of men, the physical laws, the natural laws, the spiritual laws, but we don't have to because we're ambassadors of heaven. When the time comes for us to circumvent them, to override them, to put them down, we do it and people call them miracles. You understand that? A miracle is simply you asserting that you're an ambassador of heaven and everything must bow to the name of Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors of heaven and we were all ordained to be ambassadors of heaven. That's why we're ordained for good works. And that's why we are ordained. So whatever we ask the Father, he'll do it. So 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead that be reconciled to God. You are an ambassador of heaven. You're an ambassador in Christ. And the Apostle Paul is praying that you realize this and be reconciled to God so you and God can be best buddies. And you move into grace by understanding this. Grace is you do your best, God does the rest. God is not a valet, nor is he a butler, nor is he a genie in the bottle. All these three will, assuming they work, do whatever you ask them. No, God is the God of the impossible. God has given you free will and a lot of talent. God expects you to use your free will and your talent to do whatever you can. You do your best, and God does the rest. And God doing the rest is grace. Is grace. So, God wants us to be reconciled to him, to understand that we are his ear, that he lives in us, that he's on us, that his word is in our mouth, that we wear his armor, and we do all that to be ambassadors of him, to draw men to the Father, to Jesus Christ the Son. That just as Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one, each of us is ordained as an ambassador of heaven to destroy the works of the evil one. John 15:19. We are in this world, but not of this world, for we choose to live by the laws of the kingdom of God. Number three, all believers are ordained to be kings and priests. Notice the past tense. We are already ordained to be kings and priests. Revelation 5:10. And also in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, I believe. Revelation 5:10. God has made, and the word made there is also the word ordained, which is the same word when it says Jesus ordained 12 apostles. That's the same word. Jesus ordained 12 apostles. That's the same word here. God has ordained us unto God as kings and priests. Same word. Jesus ordained 12 apostles, and God has ordained us to be kings and priests. It's translated in the King James as made, but it's the exact same word, ordained. And we shall reign on earth. We shall reign on earth. The question is not, is the body of Christ going to reign on earth? The two questions. One is when, and two is, are you going to be part of it? The word of God never passes away. It's never wrong, it's never changes, and it never fades. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never pass away. We who are filtered through the process, we who are solo to God, we who with God's help can move upward and closer to him with his help, because it's not by might nor power, but it is by the Spirit of the living God. We can't do it because we're good. We can't do it because we're talented. I mean, think of all the challenges we have, all the sins we commit, all the mistakes we made, all the backsliding some of us have done, all the vomit we've gone back to, at least one person, maybe two. It's only by his Spirit. Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3 says, Don't be so foolish. Don't be so bewitched. Don't be so thoughtless that you who know that you were saved not by your own works, but you're saved by the Holy Spirit through faith. Don't be so silly to think you can perfect yourself by yourself through your discipline and your talents and your commitment. No, it's only by the Spirit of God, and it's only through faith. Believe what the Word says, want it because the Word says it, and ask the Holy Spirit to change you into whatever He wants to change you into. And then we go through the filtering process as we're washed by the water of the Word. So we have been ordained to be kings and priests. Notice it's not kings or priests. See, the church tends to teach some of us are kings and some are priests. Those who go through the fivefold ministry are ordained to be priests. No, that's not a true statement. Totally unscriptural. We are all ordained to be kings and priests. The question, does you want to be a king or a priest? A king is focused on the natural power, which in this world is focused on money. My brother Ray got saved in a very unusual way. Didn't really want to go to church. Actually, none of us did. But my sister-in-law, Rita, was one of the first two to get saved. She and my other sister-in-law, thank God for sister-in-laws, and sisters, and my other sister and our friend, they were the two to get saved first. And they kind of went into getting saved, into going to Bible class, because they said, come to Bible class. We just said, come to Bible class, and we'll buy you a nice dinner. Friend says, okay, I can handle that. So Rita and Fran got saved first, and they prayed the rest of us then. Okay? I was the second to last. Ray was not in the first bunch, not too close, I don't think. He was kind of tough dude to deal with him. And how he got saved was he came to church one day. He finally convinced him to come to church. So he comes to church, and Ray, being a busy man, I know you wouldn't think Ray would ever be late, but he was late that day. That's kind of a tongue-in-cheek joke. Okay? He comes to church that day, and they'd close the door. And he comes up, and the door is closed. And he's trying to get in to open the door, and the door can't open. And God hit him with a thought, what if this was the day of judgment, and you're locked out? And that's how you got saved. Amen? And he went on to make a statement later on. He said, God changed me. When he got saved, one of the first things he did was go on a 40-day fast. I wonder how many people here have been on a 40-day fast. He went on a 40-day fast. He's made the statement in public. So I'm not saying anything he didn't say in public. He said in testimony later on, the first year I was a Christian, I made $1 million. Okay? That's kingship. That is kingship. But he's also a priest. You don't want to go on vacation with him because every place he stops, he's there ministering. He leaves a trail behind him, not of mango skins, but of salvations. Let me tell you, you all know I minister a lot. But when I go on vacation with him, I mean, it's just continuous ministry. The man is a continuous stream of God's salvation words. That's king and priest. And God wants us all in these ending days to come into that role to which we've been ordained and rise up high and mighty as kings and priests, high and mighty in the glory of God. For the glory of the latter temple is greater than the former. The latter temple was both spiritual and physical. Gold, silver, and the glory of God. God says in these ending days in Haggai, just a while and I'm going to shake the world. And the silver and gold is mine. Kingship. Amen? Number four. All believers have been given ministry gifts for their ministry to the church body. Romans 12:6-8. These are not the gifts of the Spirit. These are ministry gifts for the daily operation of the church, for daily ministering to the church body. These are prophecy, ministering or helps, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, and mercy. Notice that mercy is the gift. Some people have more of the gift than others. Also giving. Some people are bigger givers than others. Giving is a gift. That was Romans 12:6-8. Number five, 1 Corinthians 12:7-10. 1 Corinthians 12:7-10. These are commonly called the gifts of the Spirit. They are the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. These come to people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. All believers have a right to ask for the manifestation of the gifts. And I believe, and I teach, ask for all nine. But don't ask for them so you can brag and say, I have all nine. Ask for them when you're using them. The purpose of them is to use them. The purpose not to have them, the purpose is to use them. As you use them and you need them, ask them and they will come. Manifestation of the 9 gifts of the Spirit in their ministry to others. And the others here is primarily to unbelievers, not so much to believers. Yes, they work for believers, but the primary orientation is to draw people to the Father, to Jesus Christ the Son. I organize them into 3 groups. The power gifts, which are faith, miracles, and healing. Power gifts of faith, miracles, and healing. The revelation gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. And the vocal gifts, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Those are the gifts available for your ordination. So let's close out with a summary. In this summary, 4 Greek words are listed, 4 different Greek words. The first 3 means ordain. That means they could all have been translated as ordain. Wherever you see the word, you can replace it with the word ordain. The 4th word, commit, is one of the meanings of the word ordain. So these words that mean ordain also all mean commit. So let's look at some summary of what God has done. The word separate, which is also the word ordain, we are called out of them to be separate unto the Lord, to be separated from them, to be ordained unto the Lord by coming out of them. We are ordained unto the Lord, called out of them to be ordained. Paul and Barnabas, the outline reference number refers to the outline above. If you want to see the scripture that says that, you go to B1, above in the teaching. Number 2, same word separate, Paul and Barnabas. God says, separate Paul and Barnabas unto me for the work to which they've been called. In other words, ordain Paul and Barnabas. The same way Paul and Barnabas were ordained by the Lord is the same way you and I are ordained for a work, which is to come out of them, keep ourselves apart from the pollution that's in this world. If you want to see the scripture for that, you look at D4 in the outline, part D, number 4. The next word is ordained, G5087 in Strong's, G5087, ordained. Jesus has ordained us to bring forth fruit. He has ordained you and me to bring forth fruit. He has ordained us to whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, He'll do it. That's an ordination. The same word where it says God ordained Paul as preacher, apostle, and teacher, the same word is used there. Just as God ordained Paul to be a preacher, apostle, and teacher, we are ordained to bring forth fruit. Another example of the same word. We are ordained to the word of reconciliation. Those 3 use exactly the same word. We are ordained to bring forth fruit. Paul is ordained as an apostle, and we are ordained to the word of reconciliation, which is God's word in the Bible. The next word is also ordained. It's been translated as ordained. Jesus ordained 12 apostles. The same word that says Jesus ordained 12 apostles is the same word that says you and I are ordained as kings and priests. And notice the past tense. We are ordained as kings and priests. We already are kings and priests. We just need to recognize that calling our life and do it God's way. We are ordained to be kings and priests. The last one is the word committed. He gave, committed some to being apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He committed some to that calling. Just as we are committed to the ministry of reconciliation. So that's what ordination is all about.